For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris, hour number two, 3 o'clock. It's the time. It's 7 a.m. the next day in South Korea. We are hoping to get it hooked up with Tony Gwynn Jr. We have promoted that fact.
I see him on the cameras.
You see him?
I do.
All right. So now we need to make audio contact
audio
with Mr.
contact.
Gwynn.
Yes. Hold on. Give me a second.
Does he look any worse for the wear?
He looks great right now.
He's looking great. He always looks great.
Right
he always looks great.
Hold on.
Some guys just have it. I mean, Tony wears that Joe Musgrove bucket hat. And he looks fantastic in it.
We got him.
We got him.
Yes.
Tony Gwynn Jr., halfway around the world. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Hey,
this is awesome.
I'm so excited. Tell us about your trip to South Korea. Was it everything you thought it would be and then some?
It's been pretty cool, I got to say. Been in a completely different country across the water has been it's been fun. Got a chance to eat a lot of good food. Make some good memories with my wife. We've been hanging out with Jesse and his wife, and the Padres have won both exhibition games. Now a day off, and then the real thing starts.
And then it is for real. How was the flight? Was, you know, the thing everybody was kind of little hesitant about. How did that go smoothly?
The flight went as smoothly as possible. I mean,
nice. Beautiful.
They gave us kind of a regimen on what the players were doing in order to kind of acclimate themselves better. And so what the plan was, you get on the plane, you stay up until the first meal was served. That was the plan, right? That got you about an hour and some change into the flight.
Yeah.
Once the first meal came, then you were free to sleep. And you tried to sleep until the second meal came, which was about 5 or 6 hours after.
Oh.
And so I just followed the game plan. And then once you had your second meal, you had to stay up the rest of the way. So, which was like another 2 hours at that point. So
now we read the whole thing. Kevin Acey laid it all out in an article in the paper that they were going to adjust the lighting on the plane. They were going to adjust the temperature on the plane to make it, you know, easier to sleep, make it easier to stay awake. I mean, this was really planned out. The Padres did not leave anything to chance on this flight.
Yeah, and because, I mean, there's I mean, not to be too dramatic, but there's a lot riding on it, right? You don't want anybody, you know, not having enough sleep, then getting hurt. Like, there's just a whole bunch of dominoes that can kind of fall from that. So I will say, I personally, at my own homes, like to sleep in somewhat of an ice box. So it was at times a little warm for me on the plane, but I made do, and it was good, man. It was as smooth as a flight out could go. Now, I am terrified of the flight back, though, because I will say by when we got here, it was early in the morning when we got here.
Right.
I slept for about 2 hours. But, you know, after that, it was like you had to stay up the rest of the day. And I, by the time we got to like, I made it to like 10, and I was like sick I was so tired. Like, you know, you know, you've ever been so tired that like your body literally feels like it's shutting down. Like that is where we got. And so I went to sleep that night and then I fell asleep easy, but then I was up at like 3:30, and that it's been like incrementally better each day. Like it's 4:30. Yesterday I got to 6. So it was good. It's been good, man. It's been a lot of fun.
Not awesome. to pry into your personal, you know, habits, but can you give us a little, you know, just give us a little, what have you been doing? I mean, when you haven't been at the ballpark, what have you been able to see? What have you been able to do? Did the Padres have any group stuff planned, or have you guys just kind of been on your own when you're not playing?
I think there's been some group stuff planned. I think everybody's kind of done their own thing. We've had some downtime, so some people have taken some tours. They've gone down to, there's been a tour to take you down to see what North Korea, you know, looks like, things like that, because everybody's curious to at least say that they've been down there.
Wait,
to see what it's like.
You did that?
No. I didn't say I did it. I said people were doing it.
I was like, that's amazing.
I didn't do that. But we did, my wife and I and Jesse and his wife, we walked into the city, ate at a pizza place they had here, which was, I mean, it's pretty tiny, but it was still pizza, right?
Pizza. Then, South Korea's famous for pizza. I mean, come on, who wouldn't want to miss that?
Had some pizza. We found this awesome pretzel place where they were making like all these different fresh pretzels. The coffee out here is fantastic too, by the way.
Oh wow, okay.
And then of course we had to hit up some barbecue. Now I don't know if it's necessary to call it Korean barbecue here. But we had some barbecue. It was we're not doing it right in the States. I can tell you that.
Well, tell you that. Beautiful. How, the hotel's wonderful, and everything else is good.
Hotels, yeah, no, it's been first class. Everything. I didn't get to tell you about the plane though. Like so, the seats, they were like these little eggs, basically, that you could fully lay down in. I mean, but it was like all in your like row, and so. That obviously made it easy for everybody to conk out and get some sleep.
Yeah, this is I texted Tony last night. I have major FOMO. I told Chris earlier. Chris doesn't get it, but Bob Scanlon's been the best Twitter tour guide I've ever seen. And it looks like you guys are having a lot of fun.
Sounds like a fantastic trip. I wanted to say good on the Padres as well. One of the ladies, her name's Suzanne. She lives in our complex here, you know, where I live, and she is the CEO of the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And the Padres are not the kind to pat themselves on the back about this, but she sent me a video from Korea that she received from Korea. She's still in San Diego. But the Padres made a ton of wishes come true for South Korean children who are Ha-Sung Kim fanatics. And they brought them out to the ballpark and they got to meet him and go to practice and hang out. So, I mean, the Padres are over there doing a bunch of really nice things along with getting ready to play baseball.
Yeah, no, there's been it's wild seeing the contingency of fans that are like, you know, Ha-Sung Kim, Yu Darvish. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, you know, watching videos of people freaking out, like when Michael Jackson was performing, like fainting almost.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's like.
There's been a little bit of that when, like, I'm talking like grown men, like screaming at Yu Darvish as he walks out the hotel. Yeah, no, it's wild, man. It's wild.
That's awesome.
It's wild. But you know what? It's been pretty easy to, like, acclimate. I mean, as an American, right? You go into a country, you don't speak the language, but it's been pretty easy to. I mean, almost every place we've gone has like an English version of something to kind of help you along.
Yeah,
I don't know that we've been to a place where, you know, whether it be a food place or a store where someone didn't speak English. So it's actually been pretty easy to adjust.
Now, have you gone to any American type establishments? Have you gone to, like, you know, the Burger King or the?
He went to got pizza. Remember?
Oh, he got the pizza, but it wasn't Pizza Hut.
It wasn't like an American establishment. I have gone to. They have a Shake Shack at the.
There you go.
They have a Shake Shack in our hotel. Like, there's a mall connected to it.
Oh, beautiful.
And they have a Shake Shack. They have a Baskin Robbins. I've hit up both of those.
Of course. Very good. Very good. Well, that helps make you feel comfortable. Now, Tony is in South Korea, of course. Padres play at 3 a.m. our time Wednesday morning. We're having the big viewing party down at the 7 Mile Casino. Hope all of you out there will join us for it. But what I wanted to know, Tony, is how in touch are you with what's going on in the American sports world over here? I mean, like, do you have your bracket printed out? Are you aware the Aztecs are, you know, a 5 seed and who they're playing? Are you in touch with all of that? Because the world has become a lot smaller thanks to the internet.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much of that are you getting?
The world is a lot smaller still because of the internet. However, one of the things that's tough is you don't have access to the videos, right? So I knew I was following along with the Aztecs, I guess, early internet days before there was video, where there was just like a picture of a basketball court, a ball kind of doing its thing. Shot, shot. Yeah. So that's how I was following the Aztecs. I knew they got the 5 seed yesterday. We were all, a lot of us in the breakfast room were pretty disappointed how the final went against New Mexico. But
yeah,
they still got a 5 seed, which, you know, I take. And I think, you know, quite frankly, they got a I wouldn't say easy draw, but outside of UConn, it's as good as you could have asked for considering how they finished the year. So I was happy with that. Sad to see my Lakers lose to Golden State the other day.
You're in tune.
It was very hurtful, but I'm dialed in as much as I can be, at least.
Very good. By the way, Aztec fans, we just got confirmation from San Diego State. Elijah Saunders, their forward, will be on the show tomorrow.
Sweet.
At about this time, about 3:40 tomorrow afternoon. So
nice.
You Aztec fans, make sure you're tuned in for Elijah Saunders tomorrow afternoon. All right, Tony. So we're going to talk about the Padres here in the next segment. I don't want you to answer yet, but I know that, you know, you were gone when Dylan Cease was acquired, so I want to get some of that. I also want to find out if Tommy Pham is anywhere in the neighborhood. You know, I mean, he's being widely reported by our friend Bob Nightingale that he is on his way to you guys, but nothing official has happened.
He's saying that he's on his way to Korea?
No, but the Padres are very close to signing him.
I
misspoke there.
Okay.
But that they're close to signing him, so I want to find out if Tommy's anywhere in the neighborhood and just find out how everybody's doing. So we'll check. We'll take a quick time out. We'll check some traffic here in San Diego. Tony Gwynn Jr. up having a little orange juice, 7 a.m. South Korea time, joining us live right here. More Gwynn and Chris on the way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Part of the Gwynn and Chris show. He's live from South Korea, joining us tomorrow morning there. 7:19 a.m. is your time in South Korea. 3:19 here in the afternoon, San Diego, California. Tony Gwynn Jr., we haven't talked to you in a couple of days, but a glowing report from Tony on the trip to Korea. The airplane, by the way, did sound remarkable. I do want to ask this. It said that they had like 10 or 15 first class seats, then like 140 business class seats, which is apparently where you were, Tony. And then there was like 30 coach seats. Other than like people like me and Scraby, who got those?
Oh wow! So when you put together
their seat,
when you put together a big strip like this with this many people,
yeah,
there's a lot of kind of loose ends that have to be tied up, and so whether that's the security staff that you know helps you get onto the plane, because remember we're a Major League Baseball team, so we're not traveling through the regular airport like walking through the
right
through the terminal. So you're going to need security to kind of get you to the security point. And then, you know, even when we travel regular, there's always like I don't even know what you call it. It's someone that works with the airport security that flies with you. So we had a few of those folks on there.
Got it.
We had some of the interpreters. I mean, there's a lot of staff outside of, you know, the baseball players and the media side of things. There was just a lot. And so there's actually a few seats open in that coach area. However, from what I gather, there's going to be more people coming back than there were coming.
You guys are going to pick up some people.
Yeah.
But I was concerned that Dave Marcus would be back there.
No, he was in a great seat.
He ended up with a good spot.
I think Dave Marcus was concerned he would be back there. I think if I'm being honest, there was some worry amongst the broadcast crew that's where we would be as well.
That you guys would be back there. Yeah,
yeah, but it worked out. Dave Marcus was seated not too far from me. He was enjoying himself quite thoroughly.
Good. All right. Well, fantastic, and all the best luck to the Padres to come home 2-0 after Wednesday and Thursday against the Dodgers. Dylan Cease he's there. He pitched last night. We didn't get a chance to talk to you, Tony. I will tell you, you know, the complainers here in San Diego, the same people who complained that we're obviously not trying to win this year.
They're not complaining about this move?
Now they're complaining about the acquisition of Dylan Cease because we've given away too much of our future. It is, you know, it's impossible to please everybody, but I don't see how this can possibly be a bad move. You know, I mean, look, if Drew Thorpe and all of these guys go on and win multiple Cy Young Awards, you'll look back and say maybe that wasn't a great trade. But as far as for right now, for the prospects of the 2024 and 2025 Padres, this was a necessary move for them to make, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, first, before I give you my analysis on the deal, I want to tell you about when the trade went down, like what I was doing. So typically after a game, you know, normally after a spring training game, we all go our separate ways. But obviously we were leaving for the airport about 2 hours after that game. And so I kind of go into our media room where we kind of hang out before games. And I come out because I was going to head down to the near the locker room to the lunch area to see, get some food before we headed out. And Steven Wilson's coming down the hallway to my right. And I had seen Steven really all spring. We had, you know, just missed each other. He's, you know, obviously trying to get ready for the season. I'm doing different things. And so I was going to wait. I was waiting for him just to kind of say what's up because we hadn't chatted at all. And he kind of had this look in his face, and he got his hand out like he wanted a bro hug. And I was like, I know we ain't seen each other in a while, but it ain't like that. But I could. There was just something about the way he was looking, and I was like, what's going on? And he was like, I'm going in this deal for Cease.
Wow.
So I think I might have been like the first person he encountered after hearing the news that he was being traded.
Yeah, that could be a weird thing.
It was a little weird, but he took it in stride. I think he recognizes, obviously, he's going to a team that's not as good as the team he's on. But for him, I mean, this is an opportunity for him to be a closer. You know, we talk about often on our show how the difference between being a middle reliever and a closer in terms of pay,
yeah,
there's a wide margin between the two. So he took it in stride, and then you start to hear the pieces come together, who are the other guys. I personally think this deal is a no-brainer. Dylan Cease is a dude. First of all, he's got an extra year of control, so it's not just this year. It's next year as well. He was an ace in the rotation he was in, and he is an ace. He's a guy who finished, you know, in top five of Cy Young a few years back. So this is a dude who is very motivated to throw the ball well. And so I think from a Padres standpoint, this now slots everybody down. After Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove, now you're throwing Dylan Cease. That moves Michael King down to the four spot. That allows the Padres to kind of piece the fifth spot however they want to, whether it's Brito, whether it's Vasquez, whether it's Waldron. They've got options, and that creates more depth, right? And so I think there's a chance that you're going to miss Stephen Wilson, certainly this year. I mean, he's a guy, a reliable arm you could depend on, but the bullpen is, you know, with Matsui, with the way Suarez has thrown the ball, there's been a lot of good things coming out of that bullpen. They seem to have some depth in that area. So in terms of, you know, losing Iriarte, losing Thorpe, who was the other one that was in that deal?
Zavala, yes.
Yeah.
Zavala. I mean, Zavala's like 19. I mean, like you're not going to hear from Thorpe. Is probably the closest one at this point to being a big leaguer. And the Padres aren't in the business at this point of waiting 3 or 4 years now. You know, the other prospects where we're talking Marcy, we've seen with Jackson, those guys are the top guys are still in the helm. So,
yeah,
I think this was a no-brainer deal. The Padres pitching rotation got better. And because of that, the bullpen got better, basically.
Yeah. Well, 667 strikeouts for Dylan Cease the last 3 years, the most in baseball, the highest swing and miss rate of anybody in baseball. And Scraby went into a whole bunch of other statistics, BAPIP and this and that and the other.
I don't really understand.
But, the thing to me is I just don't understand how you can complain and say they're not trying to win this year, and then you can complain when they are trying to win this year. So that's the only thing. If you don't like the trade, you don't like the trade. But don't tell me that they're, you know, not trying to win when they are trying to win. And that's what this trade is all about. And I think it's going to make them better. I mean, they have three potential aces, which is something not a lot of teams in the National League have. So it's a hell of a nice pickup. How about Tommy Pham? Are you hearing anything, or can you give us any secret info, or are you just kind of all sitting back reading the same things we're reading?
I mean, I think based on the reports, based on things I've kind of heard on my own, there's definitely been some communication, perhaps even an offer. However, I don't know where we are in terms of if Tommy, you know, is on board, if there's been an agreement. I don't know that part's happened. But, you know, it makes a lot of sense. It really, really does, especially at the price point that is being reported, you know, anywhere between, what, $2 and $5 million. That fits, at least according to what Kevin Acey has written, that there's some space there for it. So I think it would be a good move for the Pods. Bring somebody of his caliber, and you know he's a end of the year performer, if you will. Like, you get into that September, October range, you got action. And so I think for, you know, the Padres, it would be a good move. It'd be a good move. I think he brings something not only on the field, but in that clubhouse too. He's also played for Mike Schilt. Mike Schilt knows him very well. And so, I think it would be a good move for the Padres.
Yeah, you wouldn't be surprised to know, Tony, that half the people here are freaking out about, you know, why we would want to bring Tommy Pham in. So.
I get it. I think Tommy is one of those cats. Either you love him or you hate him. There's no like lukewarm. There's no like medium. he kind of is. You either on one side or you're on the other. Now I know Tommy, so I like him. I think he's a good asset for any big league team, because the one thing you can 100% say about Tommy, he's going to show up to work every day and he's going to give you 100% of what he's got.
That's a good enough endorsement for me right there.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, if I get that from you, then I know that that's the way it is.
But did you know that he got stabbed outside of a strip club?
Oh, my God.
Did that factor into your decision? Because it factors into everyone else's
decision. I had not heard that. Scraby, can you give me details?
Yes, he was
lacerated in the back. I don't want to hear the details. I know. That's never going to go away.
No.
He could hit the walk-off home run in Game 7 of the World Series this year. And when he rides down in the parade on Harbor Boulevard, somebody will yell out something derogatory about the strip club to him. So
100%. Yeah, 100%.
That's never going away. All right, Tony Gwynn Jr. is there. He's with us for another half hour, live from South Korea. He would be here longer, but we can't afford the connection for much longer.
Yes. No, I'm just kidding. It's coming out of Chris's pocket.
It's coming out of my pocket. I'm only willing to pay for him to be on the show for an hour. So we're going to take full advantage of it. Padres pen pals, questions about the start of this season coming from you that we will answer next on Gwynn and Chris. All right, welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Yes, the program is whole. Once again, Tony Gwynn Jr. is with us from South Korea. Padres and Dodgers, Wednesday morning, 3:05 a.m. And Tony's there. It is, what do we got, Tuesday morning in Korea. And yes, it'll be a Wednesday night game for Tony Gwynn Jr. and the Padres and Jesse Agler and everybody at, what was the name of the ballpark, Scrape?
Go Chuck Sky Dome. Chris called it Go Suck Sky Dome because
of the relief pitcher. Because of our relief pitcher.
I feel bad for Mr. Go. He did nothing to get Chris to love talking about his name as much as he's done it.
I'm trying to protect him. I'm trying to protect Mr. Go. I don't
want
him.
He's really worried about the Philly fans yelling suck in the pen.
And Tony's played in Philadelphia. He knows what I'm talking about. So
yeah, it's not just Philadelphia he's going to have to worry about. Right?
That's right. Sure, Scrabe. That's right.
Sticks and stones may break his bones, but words will never hurt him.
He's going to pitch so well they won't be able to say anything about it. Have you been able to FaceTime? Can you FaceTime from Korea and talk to your kids? I don't know. Have you talked to your kids? Have you stayed in touch? I mean, I just don't know how far away is far away anymore.
Nowhere.
I mean, you could, you know, nowadays you can pretty much get anything that you pay for.
And good.
We've talked to the kids. We have tried to enjoy ourselves. Cause typically, if we open the door for the kids to, like, communicate too much, they'll impact the trip. And so, you know, we dabble, check in on them. My mom's got them. So,
they're under lock and key then. If your mom's got them, they're not going anywhere. So you don't have to worry about them.
They're in good hands.
They are in excellent hands. All right. Tony, we are going to get some of your other thoughts on this. I want to ask one last thing before we get to Padre Pen Pals. Do we have time, Scrabe?
Yes.
Who do you think is going to start at third base tomorrow night, Tony? We got,
the
rest of the lineup's pretty much set, at least for this game. Profar, you know, Merrill, Tatis, infield, Jake, Xander, Ha-Sung Kim, and then, Camposano catching. But third base seems to be the only thing up in the air, right? Still up in the air?
Yeah. No, it's a close competition, honestly. I mean, there's two righties going for the Dodgers. So,
right. So maybe each guy will get one start.
Each guy will get one start. My guess it'll probably be Paul. Maybe I'll say it'll be Paulie to start. Maybe
The
first game.
All right.
I think I can see them Wade getting a start. I can see Paulie getting a start.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of the only question mark that's left for me as far as opening night is concerned. All right, Scrabe, you want to get to traffic, and then we got some Padre pen pals.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Aww. Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now, on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, before we get started with the Padre Pen Pals, I want to remind everybody that if you love Mediterranean food like I love Mediterranean food, Spiro's, authentic Mediterranean cuisine, Coronado, La Jolla, for dining takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com.
All right, let's get some Padres Pen Pals underway. Now that we have a couple games to talk about over there in Korea, people have lots of questions. And we're going to start it with a Ha-Seong Kim question. I think that's actually very fair with him hitting two home runs last night. But here we go. Okay, so I was not happy when everyone was talking about trading Ha-Seong Kim about a month or two. He's the heart and soul of this team. The more he plays with his current contract, the more the price goes up for the future. I've been asking this question for a while now, but if you have the money to extend Jake Cronenworth, Chris, shouldn't you have the money to extend Ha-Seong Kim?
Well, you might. My thing is, if you don't have to extend, I don't know that you extend.
Ha-Seong Kim.
I want to make sure that last year was the real Ha-Seong Kim. And I think that's what the Padres want to make sure, as long as they have the opportunity to do so. You know, the previous couple of years were less than stellar. Last year was terrific. You know, so let's see. Can he build upon that? You know, I mean, Ha-Seong is... I love this guy when he's playing well. I don't love him on the bases yet. But I think he's probably going to tone that down a little bit this year, be a little bit more responsible. But what, 17 bombs? I mean, can he hit 20? Is that, or 17 high water? Let's see where he's at. So right. I think that's why they haven't done it yet, because they don't have to.
Tony, let me go back to the question just to make sure I'm asking it correctly. If you have enough money to extend Jake Cronenworth, shouldn't you have the money to extend Ha-Seong Kim?
Not necessarily. I mean, you extended Jake Cronenworth a year ago. Finances looked a lot different a year ago. And we know what the constraints that the team is under this season. I think Chris is right. I think the Padres haven't extended him yet because they don't have to extend him yet. What's Ha-Seong gonna what's his asking price? What is he gonna want? I mean, this is not just contingent on the Padres wanting to re-sign Ha-Seong Kim. This is also contingent on Ha-Seong wanting to re-sign with the Padres. So I think ultimately this is one of those deals where you let the season play out and you go from there. I think the Padres will have no problem extending him if they can. Should he put up another year that he did last year?
All right. Thank you for that question. Our next question is about Tommy Pham, and it's also about Trevor Bauer. So here we go. The news of the Padres being interested in Tommy Pham had me pretty excited over the weekend. He was a good player last year and got to play in a World Series. I know some fans are not a fan of Pham, but why is he any worse than signing Trevor Bauer? I don't understand how some fans can say they want Trevor Bauer instead of Pham. To me, it's not even close. So, Tony, the question is, why would Pham be any worse than signing Trevor Bauer?
First of all, I don't know that Tommy Pham is in that same category. And listen, I think it's important to note that neither of them did anything that caused, that broke a law or... you know, anything on that matter. Now, there's maybe what is it a moral question that is that what
I think so.
That's what the way to phrase it.
Yeah.
And if we're comparing the two on that standpoint, I think one exceeds the other by a long shot. That being said, I think it's a fair point. Like if you think the Padres should go out and try and sign Trevor Bauer, you certainly can't then say, oh no, what Tommy did at a strip club, or what happened to him at a strip club is, you know, far worse. No, I don't think so. I think there is far more perceived baggage that comes with Trevor than there is with Tommy. So I don't think that's a good argument.
Who was this? Brutus Fan on the chat says, just don't play fantasy sports with him and you'll be fine. Chris?
Yeah. Well, no, it's not just don't play fantasy sports. Don't play with that man's money. That's what it is.
That's
and have
the,
any,
the crux.
That, That's the crux.
Do not bet him $10 on a game of ping pong either, I would think. He's gonna be competitive.
All right, Chris, what do you think about this? Why would it be any worse signing Tommy Pham than Trevor Bauer?
I would answer the question the exact same way that Tony did. I think it was perfectly answered. The one thing I would say is that if you sign Tommy Pham, maybe a third of the people are going to hate that. If you sign Trevor Bauer, I think 100% of the people are going to hate that.
No, that's not true.
90.
I would say 75.
Higher.
I would say 75.
Well, either way, 75% versus 33%, that's a big jump.
It is a big difference.
Yeah.
So, Chris, what he was going for works there. Except for it was
what's
75.
That?
That what, you were trying to say that less people are going to be mad about
Tommy
Pham. Yeah,
I think everybody's going to hate the signing of Trevor Bauer. I disagree with your 75% insinuation.
Insinuation, he says. Tony, we need you back to, like, play cop. Chris and I actually have been getting along. We had an impromptu show because the prospect game got rained out last Friday, and we were expecting to do 2 hours, and we did four. And it went well. We spent two and a half hours
of the show on conspiracy theories. Tony, you would have loved it.
We really
also,
did.
Also, you made Stray be happy for 2 hours. That's
he was
great.
He was so in his element. That was our countdown. Our countdown Friday was top all-time conspiracy theories.
Yeah, yeah.
Scraby couldn't narrow it down to five, so he had to talk about 15 or 20 of them.
We kept getting to, like, the end of the break, be like, we have to keep going. We're not done with our list yet.
It was fabulous.
All right, so that one's answered. Thank you for the question. Here is there's two more. I am so pumped up about Dylan Cease being a Padre this year. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. I don't even care what his ERA was last year. He was on one of the worst teams in baseball. I'm so confident in Dylan Cease being an ace. I went out and put $500 on Dylan Cease to win Cy Young at plus 2,500 for a total payout of $13,000. Don't tell my wife because I'm planning on taking this to the grave if I lose and hiding this money from her if I win. So, Chris, is this a bad bet?
No. I wouldn't risk 500. That's a lot.
Chris's new word for 500 is
sorry. 500.
It's hun.
Yeah. Hun. I wouldn't H-U-N. Go. H-U-N.
Well, here's the thing. I couldn't find 500 without my wife not knowing.
Just save up your coins.
Not possible. So the most I could probably bet without my wife even knowing would be about 50. And she knows I don't gamble, but I think it's a tremendous bet. 13 grand, that's a nice payout. And Dylan Cease is a guy who finished second in the Cy Young balloting. So it's at least capable of happening. So no, I don't think it's a bad bet.
Tony, do you think this is a bad bet? Someone betting $500 on Dylan Cease to win the Cy Young.
No, I don't think it's a bad bet. I think it's a good bet. As I said, this dude was in a Cy Young race not too long ago. Put it this way, this guy, Chris brought up the swing and miss statistics. This guy went from, I think, in the low ones, 100s on people swinging and missing at that slider to, like, I think it last year it was like 220, which is still phenomenal. Guys hitting 220 on the slider. And that was considered like a bad drop off for him. So, yeah, I think he looked good last night. I can tell you that.
He also said he pitched last year 30% to his potential. So if that's 30%, then he's looking pretty good.
His ERA plus was still a 97 last year, Tony, in case you're wondering.
I think what happened with that, Chris, you got a little perturbed because we were trying to talk analytics and someone said we don't know what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Some guy in the chat wrote, Chris and Scraby don't know what the hell they're talking about. And I said, you know what? We don't claim to know everything about analytics, so calm down.
Yes. All right.
So I was livid.
Final one. And this is from Taylor.
You know, the crazy thing is the analytics, and you know, and people are going to be mad at me for saying this. Analytics are really a way for, you know, the nerds to be able to keep track of everything.
I wish I had said the same thing on Friday. Darn it.
I won't lie I got a little angry when that person called us idiots. And so I said that there are a bunch of imaginary numbers.
That's hilarious. And you know, obviously, I just want to make you kind of clean that up a little. Obviously, analytics are useful. Not, but when people get on their high horse about them, that's when it gets annoying.
Yes. All right. Last one from Taylor. And I saw this on, they put up a poll on X earlier today. Big Padre fan, big listener. Need some serious help here. What jersey do I get? And the three choices are Graham Pauly, Dylan Cease, Luis Campusano. I voted for Dylan Cease. So he's actually listening for our answers. Tony, who would you choose? Pauly, Cease, or Campusano?
Pauly, who, or Campusano?
Cease or Campusano?
Oh, I probably would get a Cease unit. No, I get a Campusano. It depends. If you're okay with risking the fact that, you know, a player might not be here long, I would say Campusano.
Yeah.
If you're not worried about it, I would say Cease.
Exactly my thoughts. Chris, who would you choose here?
I can't get a Cease jersey because I can't run around with number 84 on my back. I know that works for him. Doesn't work for me. So I'm going to go Campusano. Pauly, you know, I still got to see more.
All right.
Campusano, I'm pretty sure he's going to be a legit catcher for the Padres for, you know, a handful of years. So that's the one I'd go with.
Okay, that is it for Padres Pen Pals. Thank you to everyone who submitted today. Any final questions, Chris, we have for Tony in the 2 minutes we got him?
In the 2 more minutes that I paid for?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, what's the plan today, Tony? You got the rest of the day? Day off. So what do we got?
I have the day off. There's a big dinner plan with some of the Padre community.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Aww. Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now, on 97.3 The Fan.
Now, before we get started with the Padre Pen Pals, I want to remind everybody that if you love Mediterranean food like I love Mediterranean food, Spiro's, authentic Mediterranean cuisine, Coronado, La Jolla, for dining takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com.
All right, let's get some Padres Pen Pals underway. Now that we have a couple games to talk about over there in Korea, people will have lots of questions. And we're going to start it with a Ha-Sung Kim question. I think that's actually very fair with him hitting 2 home runs last night. But here we go. Okay, so I was not happy when everyone was talking about trading Ha-Sung Kim about a month or two. He's the heart and soul of this team. The more he plays with his current contract, the more the price goes up for the future. I've been asking this question for a while now, but if you have the money to extend Jake Cronenworth, Chris, shouldn't you have the money to extend Ha-Sung Kim?
Well, you might. My thing is, if you don't have to extend, I don't know that you extend.
Ha-Sung Kim.
I want to make sure that last year was the real Ha-Sung Kim. And I think that's what the Padres want to make sure, as long as they have the opportunity to do so. You know, the previous couple of years were less than stellar. Last year was terrific. You know, so let's see. Can he build upon that? You know, I mean, Ha-Sung is, I love this guy when he's playing well. I don't love him on the bases yet. But I think he's probably going to tone that down a little bit this year, be a little bit more responsible. But what, 17 bombs? I mean, can he hit 20? Is that, or 17 high watt? Let's see where he's at. So right. I think that's why they haven't done it yet, because they don't have to.
Tony, let me go back to the question just to make sure I'm asking it correctly. If you have enough money to extend Jake Cronenworth, shouldn't you have the money to extend Ha-Sung Kim?
Not necessarily. I mean, you extended Jake Cronenworth a year ago. Finances looked a lot different a year ago. And we know what the constraints that the team is under this season. I think Chris is right. I think the Padres haven't extended him yet because they don't have to extend him yet. What's Ha-Sung gonna, what's his asking price? What is he gonna want? I mean, this is not just contingent on the Padres wanting to re-sign Ha-Sung Kim. This is also contingent on Ha-Sung wanting to re-sign with the Padres. So I think ultimately this is one of those deals where you let the season play out. And you go from there. I think the Padres will have no problem extending him if they can, should he put up another year that he did last year.
All right. Thank you for that question. Our next question is about Tommy Pham, and it's also about Trevor Bauer. So here we go. The news of the Padres being interested in Tommy Pham had me pretty excited over the weekend. He was a good player last year and got to play in a World Series. I know some fans are not a fan of Pham, but why is he any worse than signing Trevor Bauer? I don't understand how some fans can say they want Trevor Bauer instead of Pham. To me, it's not even close. So, Tony, the question is, why would Pham be any worse than signing Trevor Bauer?
First of all, I don't know that Tommy Pham is in that same category. And listen, I think it's important to note that neither of them did anything that caused that broke a law or anything on that matter. Now, there's is it a moral question that is that what
I think
that's what the way to phrase it?
Yeah.
And if we're comparing the two on that standpoint, I think one exceeds the other by a long shot. That being said, I think it's a fair point. Like, if you think the Padres should go out and try and sign Trevor Bauer, you certainly can't then say, "Oh no, what Tommy did at a strip club, or what happened to him at a strip club is, you know, far worse." No, I don't think so. I think there is far more perceived baggage that comes with Trevor than there is with Tommy. So I don't think that's a good argument at all.
Who was this? Brutus fan on the chat says, just don't play fantasy sports with him and you'll be fine. Chris?
Yeah. Well, no, it's not just don't play fantasy sports. Don't play with that man's money. That's what it is.
The crux.
That's the crux.
Do not bet him $10 on a game of ping pong either, I would think. He's gonna be competitive.
All right, Chris, what do you think about this? Why would it be any worse signing Tommy Pham than Trevor Bauer?
I would answer the question the exact same way that Tony did. I think it was perfectly answered. The one thing I would say is that if you sign Tommy Pham, maybe a third of the people are going to hate that. If you sign Trevor Bauer, I think 100% of the people are going to hate that.
No, that's not true.
90.
I would say 75.
Higher.
I would say 75.
Well, either way, 75% versus 33%, that's a big jump.
It is a big difference.
Yeah.
So, Chris, what he was going for works there, except for it was 75.
What's
that? You were trying to say that less people are going to be mad about Tommy Pham.
I think everybody's going to hate the signing of Trevor Bauer. I disagree with your 75% insinuation.
Insinuation, he says. Tony, we need you back to, like, play cop. Chris and I actually have been getting along. We had an impromptu show because the prospect game got rained out last Friday, and we were expecting to do 2 hours, and we did four. And it went well. We spent
two and a half hours of the show on conspiracy theories, Tony. You would have loved it.
We really
did. Also, you made Scraby happy for 2 hours.
He was so in his element. That was our countdown. Our countdown Friday was top all-time conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Scraby couldn't narrow it down to five, so he had to talk about 15 or 20 of them.
We kept getting to, like, the end of the break, be like, we have to keep going. We're not done with our list.
We just kept going. It was fabulous.
All right, so that one's answered. Thank you for the question. Here is there's two more. I am so pumped up about Dylan Cease being a Padre this year. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. I don't even care what his ERA was last year. He was on one of the worst teams in baseball. I'm so confident in Dylan Cease being an ace. I went out and put $500 on Dylan Cease to win Cy Young at plus 2,500 for a total payout of $13,000. Don't tell my wife because I'm planning on taking this to the grave if I lose and hiding this money from her if I win. So, Chris, is this a bad bet?
No, I wouldn't risk 500. That's a lot.
Chris's new word.
All right, 500. Sorry, 500.
It's hun.
Yeah. Hun. I wouldn't H-U-N.
Here's the thing. I couldn't find 500 without my wife not knowing.
Just save up your coins.
Not possible. So the most I could probably bet without my wife even knowing would be about 50. And she knows I don't gamble, but I think it's a tremendous bet. 13 grand, that's a nice payout. And Dylan Cease is a guy who finished second in the Cy Young balloting. So it's at least capable of happening. So No, I don't think it's a bad bet.
Tony, do you think this is a bad bet? Someone betting $500 on Dylan Cease to win the Cy Young?
No, I don't think it's a bad bet. I think it's a good bet. As I said, this dude was in a Cy Young race not too long ago. Put it this way, this guy, Chris brought up the swing and miss statistics. This guy went from, I think, in the low ones, 100s on people swinging and missing at that slider to, like, I think it last year it was like 220, which is still phenomenal. Guys hitting 220 on the slider. And that was considered like a bad drop off for him. So, yeah, I think he looked good last night. I can tell you that.
He also said he pitched last year 30% to his potential. So if that's 30%, then he's looking pretty good for
this year.
Yes,
his ERA plus was still a 97 last year, Tony, in case you're wondering.
I think what happened with that, Chris, you got a little perturbed because we were trying to talk analytics and someone said we don't know what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Some guy in the chat wrote, Chris and Scraby don't know what the hell they're talking about. And I said, you know what? We don't claim to know everything about analytics, so calm down.
Yes. All right.
I was livid.
Final one. And this is from Taylor.
You know, the crazy thing is the analytics, and you know, and people are going to be mad at me for saying this. Analytics are really a way for, you know, the nerds to be able to keep track of everything.
I wish I had said the same thing on Friday. Darn it.
I won't lie I got a little angry when that person called us idiots, and so yeah, I said right. that. Yeah.
They're a bunch of imaginary numbers.
That's hilarious. And, you know, obviously, I just want to reference, want to make you kind of clean that up a little. Obviously, analytics are useful. But when people get on their high horse about them, that's when it gets annoying.
Yes. All right. Last one from Taylor. And I saw this on, they put up a poll on X earlier today. Big Padre fan, big listener. Need some serious help here. What jersey do I get? And the three choices are Graham Pauly, Dylan Cease, Luis Campusano. I voted for Dylan Cease. So he's actually listening for our answers. Tony, who would you choose? Pauly, Cease, or Campusano?
Pauly, who, or Campusano?
Cease or Campusano?
Oh, I probably would get a Cease unit. No, I get a Campusano. It depends. If you're okay with risking the fact that, you know, a player might not be here long, I would say Campusano.
Yeah.
If you're not worried about it, I would say Cease.
Exactly my thoughts. Chris, who would you choose here?
I can't get a Cease jersey because I can't run around with number 84 on my back. I know that works for him. Doesn't work for me. So I'm going to go Campusano. Pauly, I still got to see more.
All right.
Campusano, I'm pretty sure he's going to be a legit catcher for the Padres for, you know, a handful of years. So that's the one I'd go with.
Okay, that is it for Padres Pen Pals. Thank you to everyone who submitted today. Any final questions, Chris, we have for Tony in the 2 minutes we got him?
In the two more minutes that I paid for?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, what's the plan today, Tony? You got the rest of the day off. So what do we have? I have
the day off. There's a big dinner planned with some of the Padre community here later on tonight. Outside of that, I don't know. It looks icy outside right now.
What's the temperature been like? I didn't ask you that.
I was telling Scraby the first 2 days it was really good. We were overly dressed. It was, you know, in the low 60s.
Yeah.
Last 2 days it's dropped into the 50s. I think it's going to get into the 40s today and tomorrow. So,
oh boy.
I'm prepared for cold. I wasn't prepared for the low 60s earlier in this trip. I was sweating everywhere.
Climbing into the 40s. All right. And are you going to, Scraby's going to send you a link. So are you going to, you got to do a March Madness bracket,
course,
do you not?
Course.
I mean, that's kind of un-American if you don't. So we'll definitely get your bracket. And we'll I don't know where, you know, when we'll catch up with you again, but as soon as we do, we'll talk a little bit about that and the Aztecs and everything else. But so awesome hearing from you.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're doing great. Let me see. You look like you're doing great in the chat there. And the view doesn't look. Let me see the view. Can I see the view?
Oh, yeah.
I'll show you guys the view.
See the view of. Oh, wow.
Look at that.
Look at that beautiful.
Man, the bridge
there. That's fantastic.
Do they? This is a really scraby question, but is there anything about Squid Game over there?
That is a scraby question.
I'm not kidding.
That is 100% a scraby question.
Squid Game is massive.
Squid Game has not been mentioned once since we've been out here. So I don't know what that means, but
it means it's not a big deal. It means it's not.
Well, the sunrise over South Korea there was beautiful. Yes. Enjoy
you,
your day, Tony. If we don't talk to you, have a great call in the opener. And
we're going to try to connect for at least a segment or something in the next couple days.
Well, we'll catch up.
For sure.
We'll catch
for sure.
up. I mean, he's got a lot going on. We're excited. We're going to be out there at the viewing party on Wednesday morning at 3:05. So everybody's doing their thing the next few days. And now when are you, I know this is stressful, but you're coming back like Thursday
night? We leave Thursday after the game on the 21st. We arrive in San Diego on the 21st. So we're going to like go back in time, basically.
I love that.
And that brings me back to the famous ABA player Marvin Barnes, who was flying that same type of flight one time. Told Bob Costas, who's the broadcaster of that ABA team, I'm not going on that trip. And Bob Costas said, why not? And he says, I ain't getting a no time machine.
Okay, that was pretty good.
Marvin Barnes, classic comment. We'll leave you with that. Tony, we'll catch up to you in a couple days.
Thank you, Tony.
Thanks.
All right, guys. Good talking to you.
All right. Great having you with us. We'll take a break. Chris versus the Fans is coming up next. 833-288-0973. Let's play some trivia.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.